This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. I call the Senate Appropriations Committee to order this morning. We have a few bills to take up today, but before we get started, I would suppose it would only be right and proper for Madam Secretary to please call the roll.
Nassiba?
Here.
White?
Here.
Sutton?
Here.
Partridge?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Colbeck?
Here.
Greenfield?
Here.
Cronin?
Here.
Wick?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. I'd like to welcome all of those listening on the internet this morning to a lovely 12 below morning here in beautiful Pierre, South Dakota. We have a couple of pages here with us today. And if you would just come up to a microphone, any of these on the side here, just step up, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, where you're going, and how many kids in your class back home.
Hi, I'm Emily Foyles. I'm from Raymond, which is west of Watertown, about 45 minutes. My future plans are go to Augustana and major in biology. And there are 6 kids in my graduating class.
All right.
Top 10 students.
Absolutely.
My name is Ronnie Walton. I'm from Pierre. After high school, I'm going to University of South Dakota for journalism, and my class size is about 130.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here and help us today. We certainly appreciate it. Before we get going with our bills, one of the things we do here in appropriations is work with the budget. And to do that, we try and find ways to make government as efficient as possible. And with that, we have our own Lean Methodology Subcommittee. And we are going to be having a meeting under the call of the chair, who's Senator Partridge. Would you wish to discuss your meeting quickly so we can let everybody know to join us and attend?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The plan is to meet Monday after session and to discuss the recent successes of Lean that we've done as a part of our appropriations process, and discuss future opportunities within state government for the Lean methodology and where we might apply that using our LRC priorities fund. So we will be discussing that Monday right after session in room 363.
All right. And members of that committee are Chairman Partridge. And on the Senate, it is Colbeck, Sutton, and Wick. And on the House, we have Carr, Gross, and Representative Bartles. So that will be immediately following session on Monday in the little room directly adjacent to this one, room 363. All right, with that, we have a few bills up today. We will get started. I intend, for those of you following along at home, to take them in order. However, we do have a motion first. I did not see your hand. I'm sorry, Senator Colbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I'd just like to make a motion that the following minutes are completed and ready for review and approval. Please review at your convenience the minutes of January the 30th, which was the introduction of the governor's bills.
Okay, would you move that at this time?
I want to move that as a due pass.
So we have a motion to approve the minutes of what day?
January the 30th,
January
2019.
January the 30th. A motion to approve the minutes of January 30th, moved by Senator Colbeck, seconded by Senator Greenfield. Any comments on that motion? All right, all those in favor of adopting the minutes of January 30th, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Minutes are adopted. Any other motions? Personal privileges at this time? Senator Nessaba.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have a motion to accept the minutes for January 31st.
We have a motion from Senator Nessaba, seconded by Senator Greenfield, to accept the minutes of January 31st. Senator Nessaba, any comments on that motion?
Yes, that was, we had a robust and educational and informative day talking about needs-based scholarship and the funding of scholarships that particular day. And it was a great conversation, and I did look at the notes, and Mary Turner, as usual, has done an excellent job of summarizing our comments on that particular day. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Flattery gets you far in this room once in a while. Any other comments on the motion at hand to approve the minutes of January 31st? All those in favor of, again, the motion at hand, moved by Senator Nessebe, seconded by Senator Greenfield to approve the minutes of January 31st. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Minutes are approved. Any other motions or personal privileges this morning? All right. If not, let's move to the agenda at hand. Again, we intend to take them in order today. Below the line is Senate Bill 116. That intends to stay below the line today as we're still working on some possible amendments to that bill. But let's get started with the first bill, House Bill 1039. Looking for proponent testimony on House Bill 1039. Good morning, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Hugh Bartles, a representative from District 5 out of Watertown. I brought House Bill 1039 at the request of the Technical Education Board. And it has to deal with their use of the Obligation Recovery Center. As a lot of you know, that was created in 2015, and the Obligation Recovery Center was actually, then the Technical Educational Board was created in 2016 through a ballot initiative. And so at that time, it wasn't an agency, and it wasn't included in the list of entities that could use the Obligation Recovery Center. So the purpose of this bill is just to add the technical schools, post-secondary technical institutes, to the list that can use the Obligation Recovery Center. So as you go through the bill, you'll see everywhere it says Board of Regents, and the original law behind it right now, it says post-secondary technical institutes. That's the sole purpose of the bill. The technical institutes tell me they'll use it like the Board of Regents, not for small things, but for the things they'd probably send there would be large things, and it's usually like a federal student loan that they dispersed and the student dropped out, so the federal government wants their money back. They take it back from the school, and they have to collect it from the student that dropped out.
All right. Any additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1039? Good morning, Senator.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Lee Schoenbeck, Watertown. I'm just here as the emotional support senator for Representative Bartles. It's a good bill.
All right. Any additional proponents for House Bill 1039?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I thank the two legislators behind me, the Watertonians, for bringing this this bill. We take very seriously and really appreciate every
single
dollar.
Could you identify yourself, please?
Oh, sorry. I'm Will Mortensen. I represent the Board of Technical Education. I apologize, Mr. Chairman and members. We take very seriously and appreciate every dollar that this committee sends our way, and we think that this bill will help make sure those dollars don't walk out the door. We would like to be on even footing with the other state agencies and the Board of Regents in this matter. I appreciate your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mortensen. Any additional proponent testimony for House Bill 1039?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Scott Ballinger, Commissioner, BOA. I just want to let the committee know we did work with the Board of Technical Education and the sponsors to draft this bill, and we're very supportive. And if you approve it, we'll help them collect their debt. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ballinger. Any additional proponent testimony for House Bill 1039? Any additional proponent testimony for House Bill 1039? Any opponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1039? Going once, going twice. Any additional opponents for House Bill 1039? With that, I don't think we need a rebuttal. And I would open it up to committee questions at this time on House Bill 1039. Senator Nessebe.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question or two for Mr. Ballinger. before he thinks he can, before we can leave the room. The I had a constituent called me. It was actually someone who had first began by calling Senator Thune's office. Senator Thune's office couldn't figure out what to do, so the Senator Thune's office passed the number along to me. And it was a man who was concerned about the Obligation Recovery Center. He owes some money to the state, and his driver's license had been taken, and it was making it impossible for him to be able to get a job, to be able to meet his child support payments. Can you tell me just how many driver's licenses we've suspended in our attempts to collect debts for the state?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Senator Nesbitt, what I would tell you is this. Over the last, I can tell you, last two fiscal years, and you can see our annual reports will list how many. What we do is we notify the licensing agencies that someone owes a debt. They actually take the action. My office does not take the licensing suspension or the motor vehicle registration suspension. We only notify those agencies that someone owes a debt. But I think between years 17 and 18, out of just over, right at 100,000 accounts, I think 8,000 notifications were made, just over 8,000 notifications were made.
Senator Nesbitt, would you like a follow-up?
Yes. So just to help me understand this, so would that be 8,000 suspended driver's licenses, or roughly, could you say how many of those are driver's licenses that have been suspended?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Senator Nesbitt, what I would tell you is we notified driver's license that there were just over 8,000 people who had a debt with the entity that had not paid, and then who they actually suspended from there. Because one of the things I will tell you, that some of the debtors that we're sending notifications of names may not live in South Dakota. So I would suspect that it's something less than that. Can I tell you exactly how many? No. The other thing I would point out for the committee's benefit is that the notifications only occur if the debt is $1,000 or larger. So anyone that owes less than $1,000, no notification will be made by the center for licensure impacts.
And just to follow up. Yep, just a final question. That the decision about whether a license should be suspended, that decision would actually be from an out-of-state corporation that's making that decision, that sends the notification to you, that then notifies somebody that their driver's license is. So we have deferred this ability to basically take away a driver's license to a private corporate entity.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Senator Nesbitt, we contract with a company to operate the center, to do the actual collection. And so if we have, let's say, debtor X owes us $1,500, owes us a state entity $1,500, and the agency tried to collect it, they couldn't collect it, they determined a bad debt, they turned it over to the Obligation Recovery Center. The Obligation Recovery Center, within the first 60 days, makes multiple contacts with that individual to get them on either on a payment plan or pay it in full to keep their licenses in force. And the center will keep it for that period. And if they don't get a payment, they will send a notification to the licensing entity that this person has not paid. But they're not the ones taking the license. They're only due the notification, which is required by state statute, that they do the notifications. The actual entity, whether it be driver's license, motor V, or Game Fish and Parks, do the actual license revocations or suspensions.
All right, that answers your questions.
It does. Thank you very much, and thank you for that thorough and careful answer. Thanks.
Thank you. Any additional questions of the committee? Senator White.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bollinger, I had a question, and we're talking about probably the technical schools today. If there's a student that has an obligation and it actually goes into delinquency and they're from, let's say, Iowa, they incur the liability here with, let's say, Mitchell Tech, and move back home without doing any justice to the obligation. And I know we're limited in what leverage we have against that person, but do we proceed any obligation recovery if they move out of state? That's the question, I guess.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Senator White, any debt we get, no matter what state it's in, we will try and notify that entity that they owe money. The only situation is those that are out of state, we have no authority, the state agency have no authority for the licensing part of it, but it doesn't mean we aren't trying to collect it.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator White. Any additional questions of the committee? Senator Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bollinger, so you kind of went through this fast regarding the notification, but I want to drill down into it just a little bit more. How many letters and how much time before goes by before you're notifying a DMV or a GFMP or whatever? There's quite a process, is there not?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Senator Partridge, maybe for the committee's benefit, just to give a general timeline, and we have, if you go out on the Bureau of Administration's website under Obligation Recovery Center, it actually has the flow chart of how the collections process works for your benefit. We're certainly open to questions, but what I would tell you is agencies do their due diligence trying to collect sometimes 30, 60, 90 or longer days trying to collect. At that point, they've determined that the debt is uncollectible from their standpoint. They declare it bad debt. They've done a memorandum of understanding with the Bureau. They send those debts to the Obligation Recovery Center. And within the first 60 days, there's generally at least one phone contact and two letters done to the debtor trying to make contact to say either one, get a payment in full, or two, set them up on a payment plan. And as long as they're on a payment plan, they're considered current. So they wouldn't have any licensure concerns. And if, and again, as I mentioned, if it's under $1,000, there wouldn't be any impact to the license anyway.
Senator Partridge, that answer your question? Thank you. Any additional questions of the committee on House Bill 1039? Well, then I would open up to committee questions and or action on House Bill 1039. Senator Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion for due pass on House Bill 1039.
We have a motion by Senator Partridge, seconded by Senator Colbeck, for due pass on House Bill 1039. Comments on that motion, Senator Partridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've heard that the main reason for the bill is that we would include the technical institutes in the Obligation Recovery Center services. This is merely a situation of cleanup related to the fact that we created or asked the voters to create a technical board of the Board of Technical Institutes after we did the Obligation Recovery Center. So it makes sense to do this in a bill format, and I would ask your favorable consideration of House Bill 1039.
Any additional comments on the motion do pass on House Bill 1039? With that, we have a motion by Senator Partridge, seconded by Senator Colbeck, for due pass on House Bill 1039. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Nessaba?
Pass.
White?
Aye.
Sutton?
Yes.
Partridge?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Nessaba?
Let's
know. Cronin?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
We have 8 yeas and 1 nay.
With a favorable vote of 8-1, House Bill 1039, with a due pass recommendation, moves to the floor. Senator Partridge, would you carry that on the floor, please? Oh, Senator Schoenbeck, yeah, you should probably carry that on the floor. Senator Schoenbeck, it's your bill. Sorry about that. And Senator Nessaba, if you want to inform your caucus about that, you're welcome to, of course. House Bill 1039. Yes. All right. With that, the next item up for the agenda today is Senate Bill 41. And Senate Bill 41, an act to provide for the disposition of South Dakota Building Authority refinancing revenues for the Board of Regents. Senate Bill 41. We're looking for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 41. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Wick, members of the Senate Appropriations. Monty Kramer, I'm the Finance Director for the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents have decided not to pursue this bill any further. Would ask that you table it or whatever you want to do with it.
All right. Any additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 41? Any additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 41? Any opponent testimony for Senate Bill 41? No opponents signed in. With that, I would open it up to committee questions. Senator Nessaba.
Would you like action, Mr. Chair?
Would you... I'm not ready for action yet. I was looking for questions first. Are there any questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions and or action. Senator Nesiba.
I move Senate Bill 41 to be tabled.
We have a motion by Senator Nesiba, seconded by Senator Greenfield, to send Senate Bill 41 to the table. That's a motion we cannot take comments on. With that, we will ask Madam Secretary to please call the roll.
Nesiba.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Colbeck.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
It's unanimous. 9 yeas.
With a unanimous vote of 9-0, Senate Bill 41 goes to the table. We will be at ease for a few moments as we just sent the page for the proponents for our next bill. So with that, we will be in recess.
We do have up next Senate Bill 104. An act to require random drug testing of legislators. Just a reminder, sign in if you're going to testify. Put your cell phones on mute. And with that, proponent testimony on Senate Bill 104. Welcome, Senator Nelson.
Good morning. Morning, Senator Stace Nelson, District 19. Come before you today, my understanding is from the motion on the floor just to discuss the impact, the monetary impact on the bill that passed out of Senate Judiciary. So that's all the information I have for you today is the actual costs that might be entailed in this bill. As you see before you, I've got some documents from the DCI director in regards to what it would cost if we have a what you would call a hit on the instant drug testing capabilities that are out there. What you have before you is a cost for the actual 12 panel cup instant drug testing that is available. If a positive ensued out of that, then what would entail would be the comprehensive testing and then the confirmation testing as indicated in the DCI director's email. This system is already set up in our highway patrol, in our DCI, our state National Guard has drug testing. There's, I believe, the Department of Corrections has drug testing. So this is nothing that's new. What may be a surprise to those that are unfamiliar with this process is how cheap and affordable it is. The cost for a instant drug testing for each member of the legislature would be approximately $250. That's it. Total for every legislator in the South Dakota legislature, it would cost only $250 to do a instant drug testing with DCI. And then if a positive ensued, that's when you have to go into the confirmation test, which is $50 per person. So roughly you're looking at $250 for drug testing for every legislator. Now, if because of the percentages we're talking about, you've got 105 people, invariably there's going to be positives that ensue. Just if you look at the statistical analysis of how many people use drugs in our society, you know, how many may pop positive? Who knows? But you're going to have a little bit more in regards to the confirmational testing that would ensue as a result of that. So it's not a complicated process, very affordable. In regards to the monetary aspect of it, this is probably less than what we pay for our paper every year for legislators. And where is the money going to come from? Well, being the tightest-fisted conservative in the legislature, I think I've only used $500 in travel money in the 7 years I've been in the legislature. I think we're budgeted for, $7,000 per legislator every year for traveling. I can assure you that I will continue to not use any of that money. So you've got at least $7,000 this year and $7,000 next year. That should pay for drug testing well into the future, long after we're probably from this earthly plane. So I'll stand by for questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Any other proponent testimony on Senate Bill 104? Any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to Senate Bill 104? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, I will waive rebuttal and go to committee questions. Senator Wick.
Mr. Chair, I do have a couple of questions for Senator Nelson.
Okay.
Senator Nelson, thank you very much for your testimony today, and thank you for this. Where do the results for the National Guard, Highway Patrol, DCI agents, and all other state employees tests go? Who sees those?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
So we're not here to talk the merits of the bill. The motion was only to talk about the fiscal impact. So you're talking about now the merits of the bill, and the motion was only to look at how much this would cost for the state of South Dakota. The merits of this have already been decided by the Judiciary Committee, and it was moved to the Senate floor. So I'm here to answer questions about the fiscal impact, but this was not sent here to talk about the merits of the bill.
Mr. Chair, believe me, in my own defense, I do have an end to this line of questioning.
Senator Nelson, in this committee, when a bill is referred to us, we will talk about the entire bill. The fiscal impact was sent to us. I think the line of questioning is okay. So if we want to talk about the merits of the bill, I believe that's only important, not only important, but a duty of ours. So go ahead.
Okay. Who sees the results of the tests, Senator Nelson? If you don't know, a no answer is just fine. And believe me, I have two questions that leads up to this.
My understanding is that the state of South Dakota and ultimately DCI and the Highway Patrol, depending on who's involved.
All right.
And the National Guard. The National Guard's got its own jurisdiction over its own personnel.
Follow-up?
I do have a follow-up. Thank you. Your bill, Senate Bill 104, lines 11 through 13, the presiding officer shall read the results in their entirety into the record and shall refer the matter to a select committee on discipline and expulsion. There are some HIPAA rules about privacy should a false positive be registered. And the reason I'm asking this is, do you think, Senator Nelson, that a potential lawsuit could entail should a false positive be read publicly into the record and be picked up by the media and therefore cause some monetary damages to the state regarding our extraordinary litigation fund?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
No. And simply saying, if you'll notice on the information I provided to you, the situation would be, first you take the instant drug testing, which is the instant drug cup. Then you would have the confirmation test, or the $30 per test, and then you would have another confirmation test before any of that information would be disclosed. And the reason is to exclude any false testing. And the reason why it gets sent to the disciplinary committee is for the due process aspect of it. If there is legitimate grounds for this person to have that controlled substance in their system, then they have their day in court and they get to explain to their peers why they pop positive on a confirmed drug test. Not once, not twice, but three times.
Mr. Chair, one more follow-up, if I may. Are the structure of that, is that laid out in this bill?
It effectively is, yes.
Follow-up?
I'm not seeing it. If the test given to any, pardon me if I may, I'm just reading from the bill. And I'll just read the bill. It's not a very long bill. I do like that it is short and simple. Once each week during legislative session, the Division of Criminal Investigation shall arrange for a random drug test to be administered. At least three, but no more than 10 legislators. The test shall be administered at the state capitol no earlier than 7 a.m. or later than 6 p.m. If the test given to any legislator evidences the use of a controlled substance, and if that use is not in accordance with a prescriptive order by a physician or other authorized healthcare practitioner, the Division of Criminal Investigation shall provide a written copy of the results to the respective providing officer of the Senate or House of Representatives. The providing officer shall read the results in their entirety into the record and shall refer the matter to a select committee on discipline and expulsion. As I read this, I don't even see an area to deal with a false positive.
Mr. Chair, sir, it's very clear that this was not sent here to talk about the financial impact, which is what the motion was about. Now we're getting down into the nano weeds of the bill itself. This was sent here only to talk about the fiscal impact to the state of South Dakota. That's it. It's not here to be discussed on the merits of the bill. That was what the motion was. That's what the motion was approved. Now we're going down to the nano weeds to try and defeat the bill because we want to cause as much confusion on it as possible. This is not brain science here. This is not brain surgery. It's not rocket scientists. We've been doing drug testing on our highway patrol, our DCI, our National Guard for decades. This is an established procedure by the state of South Dakota. It's being done right now. If you're opposed to the drug testing, then go out and say we shouldn't be drug testing DCI, Highway Patrol, our Department of Corrections, our National Guard, every one of them. But the bottom line is this passed out of judiciary on the merits. It is only here for the financial impact of the state of South Dakota. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else down in the nanoweeds. You even said on the Senate floor that this was here to be talking about the financial impact. Now you want to go into trying to look at the merits of the bill.
Senator, I do think that the senator talking about lawsuits has a fiscal impact to the state.
Sure. So there is no possibility for a lawsuit on the grounds that the Supreme Court has repeatedly ruled that the legislature has a right to set its qualifications for its members. I'm happy to provide you for the case point for that. It's Gray, Gebad versus Gray. Senator Greenfield can tell you about Senator Sutton. It was a case that happened right here, and the Supreme Court said in their decision that South Dakota legislature absolutely has the ultimate authority for setting its qualifications for its members. So there's no chance on a viable lawsuit going forward on the legislature setting requirements for its members to pass a drug test to be clean and sober to serve the people of South Dakota. None. Zero.
And I would say criminally you're correct. Civilly, I don't know.
It was a civil lawsuit. So it applies to the civil aspect also. The Supreme Court kick back Senator Sutton's lawsuit to hold off on a disciplinary hearing. And the Supreme Court says, can't do it. The legislature has its own jurisdiction over its own members. We're not touching it. Sorry. But you're going to have to sit in front of them and explain to them what you did. And this is on the exactly same par, both civilly and criminally.
Okay. Senator, I will say that's the discussion we wanted to have.
So the motion, Senator, for it to come here for financial purposes.
Can I finish my comment?
Sure.
That's the reason we're asking questions about monetary issues here. But in any chance, any time we have a bill in front of this committee, we'll talk about the entire merits of the bill. So that's just the way this committee works. I'm sorry if you thought we were just going to talk about the dollar amount. That might have been why it was sent here, but we're still going to talk about the merits of the bill. Are there any other questions?
Senator Mr. Wick. Chair, just for total clarity, the entire intention of sending this bill here was to talk about the Extraordinary Litigation Fund. $2.3 million this year of things we could spend on other uses for the people of the state of South Dakota have gone out to lawsuits that the state has lost. $2.3 million this year alone. This, in my mind, when I saw this bill, I saw an opportunity that a false positive could be read into the record. We do have a few attorney members in the Senate and in the House. Can you, just for the sake of your own imagination, could you imagine what would happen should one of those senators be accused falsely of drug use before a false positive is even dealt with, because it says shall read the results in this bill. That's the reason I asked it to come here. That's the reason I'm bringing it up, because our extraordinary litigation fund is already over $2 million. I certainly don't want to open it up to more. So thank you very much. I appreciate the time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? That was more of a comment. Are there any other questions from the committee? All right, seeing none. Is there any action from the committee? Any action on Senate Bill 104? Senator Partridge.
I move to table.
Second.
The motion by Senator Partridge is to table Senate Bill 104, seconded by Senator Wick. There's no debate on this motion. Secretary will call the roll.
Nessava.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Partridge.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Kolbeck.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Cronin.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
We have it 7 yeas and 2 nays.
Senate Bill 104, having received affirmative vote, is tabled. At this time, we will move on to Senate Bill 125. Any proponents of Senate Bill 125? Seeing none, I have a note from the chairman that we will defer action on Senate Bill 125. Any other comments or issues to come before this committee this time? Is there any other public input on Senate Bill 125? You guys will be around? Okay. Seeing none, I guess we will, the chair will entertain a motion. Senator White.
Second.
A motion to adjourn by Senator White, seconded by Partridge. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.